It is.
Hey, why now?
Why do you bring that up? We've moved on.
Hey!
Good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on The Real Network. I hope you're having an awesome start to your day. And I hope you're ready for a little more Tumi Morake. So Tumi's been hanging with us this morning. She's around. She's in the country. We're thrilled that she could come and join us. I took a chance. I said to James on Monday or yesterday, I was like, here's a number. See if this bitch in town. Lucked
she
out.
Around.
We lucked out. Okay, so here's some stuff that's going on in the news because you don't pay attention to the news.
Yes.
So apparently they locked up a guy who had 200,000 rand in traffic fines.
200,000
rand.
Yeah, I think it's fines. A thing, that thing.
Yo. I think they just arrest you if you have. I mean, he must have had lots of little fines.
And then they all made one big fine.
Yeah.
No, but also, you know what it is? Then you also keep changing cars.
Ooh, and you don't pay the old ones.
Hey.
I don't know. Is there a site that you can go to now? Because
there always has been, though. I don't understand. Like,
but which one? Because there's. So I'll tell you now. I've got it on here.
I know I've got Pace City. I don't know if it's still called Pace City.
So there's Fines SA. Okay.
Yeah.
And there's that Pace City one you're talking about, but that doesn't exist anymore.
Oh, doesn't it?
No. Then there's the actual Arto website, right? Arto.gov.za.
Right.
And I logged in there the other day and it says I have no fines. So I'm going to take it as gospel.
No, man, are you sure Pace City doesn't exist anymore?
I'm telling you, I'm looking at it now.
But even on I think on my bank, I once saw that I could enter my ID number and then see if I had a fine to pay. Or is it that you can just enter your fine?
I'm doing it
anyway,
right now.
But to find out, I feel like technology is on your side, man. You can you just Google traffic fines.
No,
and then it'll give you sites.
I'm not
where
sure.
You can do
so
this
it's not
thing.
Sending me a one time pin. I'll tell you now. I'm
no,
doing this in real time.
I'm going to check PCT here.
Hang on.
No, but my thing is that also happens because. Wait, for it to get to that,
okay,
you know
so,
these traffic, these roadblocks where these guys will then try and get you to... No, man, it still exists. Yeah, man, I knew.
What, Pace City?
Yeah. for me, I'm going, what have you been doing at the roadblocks? Because then somebody must account. Because it means they stopped you. They said, look at how many fines you have. We're taking you. And then you go, but here's a Coca-Cola. And then they go for the Coke. And then... Because I'm sorry, thank you, sir. How do you arrive at that amount? When, for me, to remember to check my fines has been because I've arrived in one of those and I was, you know, I drive sponsored cars. And the one time I was driving a car that had fines for days. And I was like, as you can see, this is not my car. You can see there's a little plastic thing hanging. Yeah, I was like, you can see this plastic thing hanging here. This is not my car. It belongs to the company. Like, yeah, my sister, now tell them they're getting into trouble. I'm like, yeah, I'm phoning them now to tell them they're getting me into trouble. But I'm not going to pay this person's traffic fines of all my 10,005. I'm like, oh, what the fuck? 10.5. Tempo. I may as well have gone and hired a car. So, you know. So, but to arrive at 200,000, it means you've been a great negotiator. You've been very lucky at the roadblocks. But how did they finally nab you? Because also you can negotiate. For me, I go, at a certain point, then you go, let me stop being a lazy bum. Let me go to court and negotiate. Because I remember some years back, man, there's a dude who went, someone I know, they went to go negotiate their fines because they were at 30,000.
Yeah.
They went in, wara-wara. They let him pay Boma 5,000.
Oh, okay. So you can actually argue.
You can go and plead your case.
But that's at court.
But yeah, but you have to be willing to go there. But you're not in court. But it's
the
there.
Traffic court.
Yeah.
It's
they
like
called
the...
it court. But I was like, there was no, you know, there was no trial. It was just, Your Honor, me, I cannot afford to pay Your Majesty or whatever they called it.
So I've got a 320 rand I can pay now. Should I pay it?
Pay? Do they still have them? You know, yeah, I used to get, okay, so there was a time I drove a B-Money. And guys, it's not my fault. I, on behalf of all BMW drivers out there, because I don't drive one anymore. It's not them, it's the car. I used to collect fines like I was collecting stamps, ne? And I used to pay these fines because they were half. They were like, if you pay in this time, you still pay half.
Yeah.
And yo, my friend, I was paying. I'm sure that, yeah, if they had a Hall of Fame, they would be like, yeah, this driver, she's the one. So do they still have them? Because that for me, there was also incentive to just get it out of the
way. It's actually meant to be 400, but they give you an 80 rand discount.
Oh, it's a discount even.
Mm.
Yeah, so do it.
And then they'll show you a picture of you.
But can we, but also,
but this isn't me.
The traffic people must give us grace. You don't know, maybe you hired a car. People must give us grace, because for me, I'm going, if it's a 60 kilometer zone, come on, man. It's 60 kilometers per hour. There's no school around. There's no old people's village around. And then I went at Boma 75.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still in the 70s. Why don't you just cancel it and go, yeah, but I mean, it was 72, 71. It used to break my heart when I'm getting the 250 rand fine because I went 71 in the 60 zone. I'm like,
no, that's just
look
stupid.
Where we were, man. You
they,
know?
They tried to arrest me once for 101 kilometers an hour in a 60 zone.
Yeah, but that's too much. You're not getting any sympathy. Just because you add the 1 to the 100 in a 60. I thought you were going to say that 80, dog. In a 60.
No, but it's please. Complete nonsense. Nonsense.
No, but it's
okay, now I'm going to put in my credit in card details.
That's almost double.
It's not almost double. Bullshit, man. So you're telling me at 99.
You were 20 kilometers shy of going at please, double man. The speed limit. Arrive alive. Yesterday, what do you think this is?
I get no sympathy from you on
no!
this.
No, like, yeah, I understand you're going right, at 70 well, something in a 60. I was going right, at 100.
Well, this Cape Townian guy has outstanding warrants of more than 200,000 rand
in Cape Town.
Yeah, he's been arrested. He was among two motorists in the city of Cape Town's top 100 list of offenders. So you mean 98 of them are still out there?
And it's 90. Probably it's probably those guys who race each other just because they look at you go, hum, hum, and you're like, hum, and like hum.
Yeah. So apparently 98 of them are still out there. An operation in Mitchell's Plain on Thursday. The pair had 87 warrants between them. Warrants, not just fines.
Ha.
Valued at 226,550 rand. In the past week, law enforcement recorded a high number of offenses, executed numerous warrants of arrest, and made several arrests, predominantly for driving under the influence and reckless driving.
Reckless driving, yeah. Under the influence, I'm still, the jury's still out with me on that one.
Why?
He.
No, go on.
No. So, you know, alcohol is a thing. It's a thing that is a tricky thing. You can, amen.
Come on, out with it.
It's a tricky thing. I once got stopped by a cop who breathalyzed me, and I took that breathalyzer with such confidence because I knew I had not drunk that much. In fact, I was in a mood that night. So because I was in a mood, like I was in a cack mood, we did the toast at the thing. I did my half a glass of champagne and I was out. That's how much I was even trying to be there. This guy breathalyzes me, comes back, goes, Sissy. Yeah, no, you're over. And I was like, I'm what? You understand? And I was like, I question these breathalyzers. Because sometimes I'm going, you just want a bribe from me, my friend. And then when I refuse to give you a bribe, you are going to write me a fine anyway, or you're going to lock me up.
Yeah.
You understand? Or you're going to send me on my way and tell me you're giving me a chance, but you're not giving me a chance. Then I have an associate who was so over the limit. The cop was even like, it's 1.1. Like, you're just 110. But this guy was stone cold sober like this. Because you know some people are German tanks.
Yeah.
They can take that booze.
Yes, definitely.
And this guy was driving better than a guy who probably had two glasses of wine.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So this thing of people driving under the influence and reckless driving. I feel like if you're recklessly driving under the influence, then you must be in trouble. But if this thing is saying you're over, but I'm like, Mr. Officer, from the point at which you spotted me to the point at which I stopped and how I stopped, do you feel like I'm a danger to other drivers? Did my response time tell you I'm a danger to other drivers?
So I'm going to argue for and against, okay? For, and this is where I agree with you, I think sleepy drivers are a much bigger problem.
Yay!
Way bigger, especially those guys in those 18-wheeler trucks.
Yo.
You know those monster trucks that come that's barreling true. Past you on the highway, and then you see them like going like this and like that, and you think that guy's. And yes. They do; they work like 18-hour shifts and whatever.
Tired, yeah.
So that's very dangerous. Mm. That's way more dangerous. And they never pull you over and go, "Let me check how tired you are."
Yeah.
And that's a. I think that's a. as big, if not a bigger problem than drunk driving. So if you're going to be all, because you have a way to measure drunk driving, or you think you do, then that's something you enforce. But I don't know, like, that they're that worried about that stuff. I don't drive drunk anymore is the other part of the argument. I used to before Uber came along. Now I just pay. I mean, you got to pay. So I don't take a chance anymore. It costs me a lot of money when I do go out.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's far and you don't want to travel in like some shitty car that you, where the guy sleeps in it at night. Yeah. So you get Uber Black or whatever, and then it costs you.
Yeah, but so, also it kills your drunkenness, having to drive drunk, because now you're also trying to fight the booze.
Yeah.
And then by the time you're like, okay, booze, do your thing. Booze is like, tsek, you dumped me for your car. But continue.
No, so, but that's also a thing. Argument. No, but in my less kind of careful youth, there weren't Ubers. So we had you had to drive.
Yeah.
And if you went somewhere, you would drive drunk. I say we have to. We had to. We thought we had to. You had to be at things and...
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, it is. Look, I get the danger of it, but I feel like as a cop, when you stop me and you pull me over for drunken driving and whatever, I feel like if I haven't given you a reason to pull me over for drunken driving and you're going to breathalyze me and I'm over, read the situation as well. You know what I mean? And especially if you're stopping me when I'm already home, my bra, you're too late. I'm here now. Let me go sleep it off. Like, what are we doing?
You know? That's hilarious.
But I know it's a serious issue, but I also feel like
I'm glad you said
apply our minds.
I'm glad
teachers used to say apply your mind.
I think you're right. A lot of those cops though are not capable of applying their mind.
Because what do they do with people who are too high? I've also had people.
Oh,
who are high.
Yeah, that's another
then you
thing.
Good point. And the weed is not coming up on the breathalyzer. Mm-hmm. No, that's not fair.
And don't tell me someone who smoked like a whole fucking plantation of weed.
Bruh.
That they're driving perfectly. Did you ever watch The Big Lebowski where the best crash scene in the history of cinema? He's like busy smoking this massive joint. You remember The Big Lebowski? And he drops the joint in his lap and he's like, oh, fuck, man. Oh, man. He's like, he's trying to find the joint and then he can't find the joint. And his car just goes at like 5 kilometers an hour into some rubbish bins. And he's like, oh, fuck, man. And like, that was a serious accident. It's hilarious. So don't tell me that those guys are not dangerous on the road.
They're not, right?
What? So slow?
They engage with everything that's happening. I know, guys. Now you must avoid him because he's going at 40 kilometers in the fast lane where you're going at 130 kilometers per hour. And then you're like, but you're the cause of the accident. You're speeding. No, bitch. No. It's 130 in a fast lane. He's exactly. going at 40 kilometers per hour. He's a danger to himself.
Exactly. So Signet says, how about those unroadworthy skorokoros on the road that have no brakes and you can see that the axles are not aligned?
Bruh. Bruh. Well, I'm like, why don't you just carry your car and walk? What are we doing here? Let's go walk in that yellow lane with that thing before you get us all killed. Just a day.
You see, Kala brings up this thing which drives me crazy. Drive me home services. You must just commit to your going home time with most. See, I don't like that. What if you want to stay? Or what if you want to go earlier? Now you have to sit. I think the latter is worse. Imagine you go and you say, fetch me at 1. But then by 10, the party's shit. And now you're stuck there, right? You're like,
Wait, is drive me home like these Uber services or is drive me home like they will come and drive your car home for you?
They come and drive your car home for you.
Ah, that's nice.
But if you book them too early or too late, big problem.
No, that's but that works, good. Man. That because I don't trust, to be honest, I don't trust e-hailing anymore. There's just too many horror stories. We have a friend now who's just been rescued after being kidnapped.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to name the service.
Really?
Yeah, they were kidnapped. They were sent pictures of him tied up naked. And luckily, because they stole his phone, but not before these guys were able to track it. They were able to find its last location and they found him, thank God, because I think 24 hours later, they probably found him dead.
Jesus, you understand? That's terrifying.
So, and this wasn't the first time. I remember even bumping into another celebrity I think this was a couple of years back, and her mother just had that happen to her. But she was sexually assaulted on top of that.
Oh my God, yeah. So listen, I wouldn't want to be a girl on my own.
So I'm scared to do that. Yeah. But this was a dude who got kidnapped as well. Everybody is up for the take, by the way, for taking, because this is a dude I'm telling you about who was kidnapped and tied up.
Not Kamala, she's got a Glock.
Me, I will stab you. Me, let me tell you something. I'm a coward.
You would fight.
No, I will fight, but only because I'm a coward. I'm afraid of dying.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of getting hurt. So when I fight, I am fighting because I'm trying to avoid those two things, which means I need to lobotomize you. I need to eliminate any possibility of you being
what will
able
you do?
To
grab
end
whatever's
my life.
There.
My mother taught me two things. So my mother used to roll with a butcher knife in the door of the car.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
And she used to have a...
One of those for slaching the chickens.
Yeah, and she used to have a long ass nail.
Yeah.
The rest was just short enough to be strong. So her nails were short enough. You know when your nails are short enough that they... Yeah. Proper,
they're not
going to
break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My mother had a theory. If she doesn't get to stab you in time, if she doesn't gouge your eyes out with the one giant talon and the other strong backups, she said, and I quote, to me, you must bite onto his penis or his balls. Just in that area. Hold on. Be like a bull terrier. They must have to remove you with the jaws of life. You don't let go. And then you hold with your life, Bitumel.
And that will be your plan.
That
will
be
you will
plan.
Survive. Jesus, guys, I think we found a promo for the day. That's awesome. Yeah, and you know what? You can kick that, you can hit that, you can bite that, the guy will go down.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter how big, how scary,
yeah.
What gun.
Yeah. It's little things because, you know, you're quick to, sometimes you're not as quick as you think you would be. So the things you want to do, like I know the first thing I want to do is punch you in the throat, maybe hit you in the sternum. So,
yeah.
You know, but in that moment, I just hear my mother's voice like, is there a knife? No knife, damn it. Nails. Okay, let's go. You know, and hold on for dear. Because, you know, when you go down, also the person thinks you're going down, you're losing power. Can't do your aiming.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you
That's a very, very useful survival tip. You see?
Yeah.
No fight or flight, just fight.
Mm-mm. Can you imagine in court? Or you have to explain what you did.
Excuse me, Ms. Morake. Yes. Yes, my lady.
Yes, my lady.
When you saw that you had no other option.
Yes, my lady.
Did you bite down on the man's penis with great force?
My lady, I was told that I must immobilize the assailant, Your Honor. Whereupon I employed my dental.
Your English
abilities.
Is so much better when you're in trouble.
Your Honor, no Didi. It was all in self-defense. No Didi.
No Didi is going to become an excuse. Remember how No Diggity was a song? Now it's No Didi, right? Someone's got to do a parody
no
of that.
No Didi, no doubt.
Right.
Oh, she's my God. Got baby oil.
Now, listen to this. Qantas Airlines.
Hey,
the Australian
Qantas. I know them. Hey, they are wonderful.
Are they wonderful?
Qantas, yes.
Okay, so apparently they had to apologize because they showed an X-rated film on their flight.
That one time I don't fly with them.
Mm. From Sydney to Tokyo.
Oh, that's a long flight.
So apparently it included families with young children on the plane and the inappropriate screening happened after the plane's in-flight entertainment system failed to work before takeoff. After staff were unable to fix it, they took off after a delay, the crew deciding to show the same film to everyone instead.
Oh,
however,
my gosh.
To the horror of some passengers on board, the 9.5-hour flight, the sexually explicit drama Daddy-O, I've never heard of this one, then began to play. To make matters worse, travelers reported they were effectively forced to watch because they were unable to turn it off. Or pause, or even dim their individual screens.
I'm your mother's nightmare.
So it's not like on the entertainment selection. It's not like you had options and then this was one of the options.
Although I have an ask.
Yeah.
So in this case, who do we blame? The crew or the technical guy who puts the TVs on? Because clearly when he's working and doing the TVs, he's got this backup thing that he's watching by himself. Because there's no way that was an offering that existed in the lineup.
Right. That's probably it.
So that's like finding somebody's porn stash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But people don't have that anymore because that's the internet.
What do you mean people don't have that anymore? Porn stash?
It used to be a thing.
Yeah, but it's still a thing.
You think?
Yay! Data's expensive, my friend. Data is expensive.
So you think people keep stuff?
No, you must. I have a couple of downloads myself. Some things
they will... You keep stuff. The internet's there forever.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, the internet was down yesterday. There is Celine Dile.
You hit a drive.
Or Jonathan. And he's like, yeah, but I'm in a situation. And there's no internet. Now you must sit there and go into your own memory bank. And your memory bank is not loading because everyone comes with a history. Now you must go.
That Don Kitty agrees. People have folders still, Gareth.
Yes.
Really?
And then you lock it with a passcode. And now we have fingerprint and all of that, face recognition. Now no one will open it for you.
So people still keep the actual files.
Yes. Especially wow. Because sometimes then when you come back to the search, then you can't find that one and all this other nonsense coming up, or maybe it got taken down for whatever reason.
So you have your special, your favorite.
Yeah, Muna, sometimes you'll find that there's that one and you're like, I know this is going to get taken down. I better download this mother right now. You can see this was revenge porn. It wasn't meant to go out, but it's so good. So then you download it and you keep it for research purposes, because maybe like me, you're a writer and that's why you have it.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Okay, so now we know something.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah. I
just assumed with the internet and with phones, like it's just consumer and then you throw it away. It's like, why would you keep the old McDonald's packet after you've eaten the stuff in it?
Have you made good pot? You must keep that thing for posterity.
All right. Well, now we know. James working part-time. What does that say? Just go back to that one.
Oh, no.
Oh, Ray McCauley died. Random news flash from Bushveldput this morning.
Thanks,
shame old Ray McCauley. Listen, love him or hate him, the guy had an enormous impact, right? And his church has become unbelievably huge and massively influential.
Mm.
And I think it's helped lots of people. Mm. You know, there was, if you asked the old me from like 10 years ago, I'd be like, the churches are just taking advantage of people. And there's still a part of me that thinks that. But if you give people hope, give them a place to go on a Sunday, you make them feel important, you bring them closer to God, you give them a moral scaffolding to build their life on. I don't see how I have any right to criticize that.
Yeah. No, I loved his church. Like, I'm not a big, like...
Did you go there?
Happy clappy
but
person.
But did you ever go to his?
I have friends who go to Rhema, and back when he was still preaching, I got to visit quite a few times. But even after that, you know, there's that saying about leaders, like a good leader will leave and things will continue to run, like...
Yeah, because he stopped actually preaching a long time ago.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And so that's what I like, that even among his whole scandal, you know, there was a whole scandal with the estranged from his wife and all of that. But I loved that the structure remained solid. Like, I've never gone to Rhema Church and regretted it or felt like I got nothing out of it. So his passing, shame, I am sad because I feel like, man, nobody's perfect.
Mm.
And...
Yeah.
The institution that he was a part of and that he's built and the people he's left behind and what he's taught is beautiful. I think that's
very special.
For them and it is quite a loss. And also for me, it was also a very, you are used to going to your churches when you're growing up, which are just your people. You just see people who look like you. And then you go to Rhema and you saw everyone.
Yeah, Rhema, everywhere. Rhema did a great job of making themselves accessible to everybody.
To everybody.
And there was never any hierarchy. Mm. There was never any, as far as I understand, I was never there.
Mm.
But people who have been, and I've got friends who go to Rhema.
Yeah.
And I know that people used to make a big thing about the fact that Ray McCauley used to be a bouncer and that he started this church. But I mean, is that a bad thing? I think that's great.
Yeah.
You can make the world a bit better, create not only a family empire, which is what it was, but also this place for people to go to.
Yeah, and I mean, how many of us have paid money for a church roof and the roof is still leaking 25 years later and we're still paying for the church roof?
No, and Rhema's just
growing. We saw where the money went, even in terms of the outreach work.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
So me, I'm like, man, we will all have our things to say about people, but give people their flowers.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Thanks for the update there.
Thank you, Bushbelt.
Yeah, bush pig.
Bush belt boot. I saw boot funny bush belt.
All right. What did you put up about James there? I want to see. James, the producer. You took that off. You took that off in a hurry.
And plug your
James
computer
working
in
part-time at Qantas now. Yeah, James, that's the kind of technical mess up that you would have done.
That kind of
So apparently Daddy-O, the movie that they showed, is rated 18 in the UK for language, sexual material, nudity. But in Australia, it's only 15 plus for strong, coarse language. And
yeah, but have you met Australia? They throw the C word around like, excuse me. Oh my gosh. Do they? I was shocked. Like,
I thought Australians have become quite bad.
No, I've always thought I'm crass.
Really?
But the C word in Australia.
Really?
It's like, bless you. It really? Just, it flows.
How you doing, cunt?
Yes. It's just a cunty thing. And like, even when I say really, that, it say hits it. Me because that word is so...
There's this guy I follow on Instagram. He's like a fitness influencer guy. And I mean, I follow him because he's hilarious. And he starts every video by going, morning, cunts.
Hey, see you next Tuesday. It's a see you next Tuesday. Don't call it by
that. Some people that still don't. So... They find that that's the word.
Yeah,
you know?
Even me, I get a bit of a...
It's a very old lady thing to me. I didn't expect that from
you. No, please, Gareth. Really? Gareth, I'm 42.
Because you meet those people. You meet those
I'm
people 42. Who are like, you know, I can definitely, I can handle... Shit and tits,
I
don't want to hear that C word.
Hey, no, because it sounds personal.
That's too much.
You understand how specific it is? Like, you're not giving a general body. Like, when someone goes pussy, I don't care. I'm like, it's a general area. Let's work in that area. When you say cunt, I get a picture in my head. I'm like, you are being quite precise right now.
Really?
So. Yeah. So you throw it around that
so
many
it can
times,
never be said
I'm just
with,
getting
it
the
It can
visual.
Never be said with love.
No. I refuse.
That's why, right?
It's so targeted. It's...
And Raven wants to know, what about puss?
It's general. Okay. I can live with it. It's general.
We're learning things here. This is
Peter Oliver eats sweets. Everything around my children, I have learned how to not.
You've got acronyms.
I must.
And my
children.
What do they call them? Euphemisms.
It's a must. Although they see through some of them now, they start doing it. And then I go, you can't do that because you're swearing. And
but
I'm aware
you know
you're
they're swearing when they're
and
at school.
And I tell them, don't do that. It's fine. Swear there. But don't now.
It's disrespectful for them
to swear. Because people
are going to
be like, you see, told them Muraki can't have kids. Now they are swearing like sailors. I'm like, guys, you can't do that. Especially because I give them a swear pass. That's why I say, don't do that in front of me. Because you have your swear pass and you have to earn it. And you know the circumstances under which you earn it.
One of my friends has a kid who has a swear jar.
Mm.
And when I go there to visit, I just give him 20 rand up front. I'm like, because he's going to charge me I don't know, 10 cents a word or whatever. I'm like, here, you little fucker, take that and don't come to me again.
Yeah.
Okay. And he goes, puts it in the swear jar.
My daughter bought a K-pop album on my swear jar, man.
Really?
And that's in dollars.
That's a lot.
Yep. And I feel like I've reformed. That's why I've worked on my acronym set.
But you don't swear a lot in.
No, but they catch me out in the little things.
But you don't have a problem with people swearing either, right?
No,
it's just Australians are the
no,
C word.
No, just the C word. Throw them all about. But also, I feel like in Vernac, when people are swearing in Vernac, it also hits me in the core because I feel like. But now the ancestors are hearing what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, in English, I feel like they're missing it. It's flowing in the wind. But when you do it in Vernac,
what's the worst word?
I'm not going to say those
Please
words.
Please tell me.
No, they're all bad. I don't think any is worse. Okay, I think the lightest would be Masepa, which is
Masepas,
shit.
Masepas, sure.
I can live with Masepa. But
you almost went, almost
yeah,
for
but,
a second.
Yeah, but there'll be people like who...
Go on. Come on.
But people are going to judge me.
Go, I just want to hear it.
Okay. So like, I've heard drunk people and they throw ditala around. Ditala is balls. But it's like
balls are such a bad.
No, but it's such a biologically and language like you know when the translation is precise and clean. I'm like, this is pure unadulterated Setswana. Wabona, now you must visualize. Ah, my friend, Maret. I'm like, same thing. I'm just like, I can't, you know. And then this situation I won't even name because that's next level. And I'm from Bloemfontein. When you hear someone from Bloemfontein. Of color, say to you 051. Just know your poor mother's unmentionables have been mentioned. It is so hectic.
Soon.
Hey, that's nothing. I can handle it there. That one is just, you know what? Not even that one. Let me tell you something. You know why that word in Setswana bothers me? It speaks to it almost gives you the sound of the thing.
Yeah.
The way it should sound when it's
well,
healthy
that's what
and
beautiful,
moist.
Beautiful words as well as very ugly ones.
Yes.
Do, right. They make
you,
the sound.
Yeah. So because for me, I'm going, I know that at its healthiest and juiciest as it should be, that's pretty much what you're expecting to hear. I hear that word and I go, mm-hmm, you went straight to it. Leave it alone. We heard you. We heard you. You know? Swearing is too much. It's the spirit with which it is done that makes it even worse.
I think it's hilarious because there are people who are genuinely like still upset when they hear a swear word.
Yes!
You find people who are, and it's so funny. It's like,
you'll say crap and someone's
but
angry.
It's become because of media changing. There used to be rules. You couldn't say this, couldn't say that. And therefore, everybody was trying so hard to say those words. That's gone away now. I find I swear less now than I used to 10 years ago because they told me I couldn't.
Ah.
Right?
So, so if you say you can't, you do it more.
I rebel for no reason.
That makes sense.
So if you say to me, you mustn't go there, all I want to do is go there. Right? So I'm just like a child.
Don't give me R1 million. Don't do it. Do not give me R1 million.
Do you think you'd be a terrible billionaire?
Oh my gosh.
I think you'd be fine.
Oh my gosh.
What would you buy for yourself?
Oh, definitely a car. I'm useless with cars. I would firstly just get myself something ridiculous and then...
When you say a car, but like money's no object.
Yeah.
What's the dream car? We talk about cars a lot on this show.
I know. So it's nothing new. It's just a Bugatti Veyron. I fell in love with Bugatti Veyrons a long
That's
time ago.
That's very, very, very sexy.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you didn't say something everybody would have said.
Oh.
No, because people always go Ferrari or Porsche.
No,
or,
Bugatti Veyron, guys.
But a Bugatti Veyron, you couldn't drive that in South Africa. You could drive it in your American house.
Yes.
In your American suburb, right?
Oh. My friend.
You're dreaming now.
Yes.
You're picturing yourself at the wheel.
Do you know that as motivation to my children with school and stuff, I'm always like, guys, you're my retirement plan. If not for you, for me. You're my retirement plan. I want nice things.
But they are smart children. They might just end up being very, very successful. Yeah, smart ones will take, yeah, but you lots
the success
of money.
People take time. This middle one plays soccer. Now I'm like,
is that what you're bargaining on?
Yeah,
that?
forget academics.
Are you going to be like the Williams parents with Serena and Venus? Is that what you're going to be like that Williams father? Like Tiger Woods' dad? Like Andre Agassi's dad? She's going to be, right. Practice.
Yay.
But mom, it's 9 at night. Yeah. I need to sleep. No,
this
practice.
This is your future. Mine, ours, selfish. But yeah, that's
well, I mean, wouldn't that be nice?
It would be
Cristiano
nice.
Ronaldo money.
And he loves Cristiano Ronaldo. It's a sign.
Oh, is our guest ready? Oh, good.
Woo!
Okay, we're going to talk about, well, we're talking about children. We're talking about children's books.
Yes, I love
so, okay,
children's
let me
books.
Let me give you a quick intro to this. So Kelly Kashula, who's going to join us in a second, is a book illustrator and designer. Now, kids' books, as I said earlier, we've had Gord on the show before. Gord Laws does his own kids' books. He's got the most beautiful illustrations in his books. And with kids' books, you have to make it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to look at a book because they can go on their phone or they can screens, PlayStations, iPads, God knows what, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, pictures will do way more to sell a kids' book than the actual content.
Mm.
So I wanted to talk to Kelly to find out about this stuff. She's said here that stories are good, fine, but you need to have visual stimulation for children. So I wanted to find out from her. She's written a couple of amazing books, and her passion for storytelling has taken her all over the world. She published her first children's book back in 2021, not so long ago, called I Caught One of Santa's Reindeer, the first book in the Super Duper Secret Collection. Good name. And she also wrote Captured the Easter Bunny's Chicken, and I Discovered a Monster Under My Bed, which is probably too scary for Dumi and I.
Yeah,
so, Kelly, how are you?
I'm
there
great.
She is.
How are you?
Can we hear you, Kelly? Just unmute yourself.
It's giving pandemic.
Unmute yourself.
Unmute yourself.
I am unmute.
There we go. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Awesome. Awesome. And well done on all your success so far. Dumi's got 3 kids. I don't have any, but I used to, as a kid, absolutely love reading. And my favorite books to read were Asterix, because they were illustrated.
True.
And I loved Roald Dahl books, because they had these disgusting drawings by a guy called Quentin Blake.
Yes.
Okay. The Twits and George's Marvelous Medicine and the Witches and all of that stuff. James and the Giant Fox, James and the Giant Peach,
yeah.
Fantastic Mr. Fox, all of those. So I love kids' books. How did you get into this pre-2021? What were you doing?
Pre-2021, I was an au pair in Paris.
Wow.
Before that, you know, I was at university studying film. And so I absolutely loved stories. And I think destiny had a hand in me to kind of write stories. And so it kind of brought the children that I was au pairing with, as well as my love for stories, film and books together into one and mashed it all together.
So, I mean, obviously you must be one of those people who's really good at storytelling. So you do the funny voices, the sound effects, all of that stuff. When you're telling the kids the story, that's the best part, right?
Yeah, that's the best part. I remember when people were reading stories to me, and I absolutely loved it when we went all silent with the voices and whispered and loud. And so I incorporated that actually in my stories with the text. So, you know, when the character is speaking very lowly, the font goes really small and it whispers. And then when they go really loud, it's like really, really loud in text as well, to help the parents as well read the story and get comfortable in their own skin reading to their kids.
So, I mean, you said you were in filmmaking before this. So that's obviously a kind of storytelling too, but it's, you know, in some ways quite similar to, because when you do a film, you have to storyboard it first, right? Yeah. You have to plan the whole story. And sometimes that involves illustrations too. Is that where you first started drawing?
No, I started drawing since I could pick up a pen. You know, the day I was born, someone gave me a pencil in my hand and
the day
I was
you were born.
Drawing away.
Oh, when I was born, I was peeing all over the place. I don't think I did anything useful for a couple of months. Don't lie to us and say the day you were born. But I'm sure it was shortly after that.
Yeah, I'm a storyteller. So, you know, we kind of...
Exaggeration is fine.
Exaggerate and fantasize quite a lot.
Okay. Tell me quickly about the drawings themselves. Like, what kind of stuff do you love drawing people? Because those are obviously central to most stories. You have to be able to draw people, right?
Yeah, I draw, you know, the characters that are in the books. Mainly they're just kids. And I started off with line drawing. So very simple, very elegant. In fact, a lot of people have been saying that my Super Duper Secret Collection, you can use as a coloring book. And I never thought of that until somebody pointed out. I was like,
that's cool.
Wow.
Tell me about that name, the Super Duper Secret Collection. I mean, that, like any kid who reads about a Super Duper Secret Collection is going to want it, no matter what's in it. You could put like razor blades in there and they'll want it.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, well, the Super Duper Secret Collection, it came out actually from the character, the heroine, Little Lizzie. And she starts the book with, they call one of Santa's reindeer, but it's a secret. And that's when the title came to me. Oh, wait, this is super duper secret. And you can't tell anybody because nobody's going to leave you anyway. And so that's where the title came up with. And then I just went with it because it just worked really nicely and flowed. And I really like it.
All right, level with me. Is it very, very difficult to sell kids' books? Because publishing in general is hard. If you know, I've written two books and everybody said, oh, they did really well. And I was like, well, there's no fucking money. So I don't know what they're talking about. But are you doing okay in terms of actually making money out of this, making a living out of this?
I'm not making a living, but I am making something.
Are you actually talking to us from a container at the moment?
No. Well, you can call it a container. It's a French container, which is an apartment in Paris. So very tiny.
It is. So you're actually in Paris at the moment?
Yes, I'm actually in Paris. Lovely Paris. It's a bit dark at the moment.
Vous parlez aussi français?
Ah, un petit peu.
Votre accent, c'est excellent.
Ah, merci. Parce que c'est mon fiancé, c'est pas les français. Et je parlais avec toi.
Vous avez un fiancé. What does your fiancé think of your writing and your books?
Oh, he loves it and he's very supportive. In fact, he is one of the main reasons why I have excelled so brilliantly. And you know, I'm so happy that he came into my life. I wrote the first one and then the second one I wrote in South Africa, and he kept on pushing me, like, hey, when's the next chapter? When's are you doing this? Are you doing this?
Is he South African or French?
He's French.
Ah, he's a French guy. French boyfriend, fiancé. Very nice. What's his name?
Frederick.
Frederick.
I like Frederick.
Yeah.
I would call him in full. I'd never call him.
Listen, Frederick. I love this. Frederick. I think it's very, very cool. Where can we find your books?
You could find them on Amazon, and some of them are actually on Takealot.
Oh, nice.
So you'll be able to do that. And if you walk into a local bookstore, you should be able to ask for the titles. They can always ship it because they have this main data system called Ingram Spark. And so the local bookstores just type in the name and they say, yeah, we can get this. And they usually ship it or come in a couple of weeks.
I love it. Kelly, well done. I think it's so great. You know, when everybody else is talking about like inventing the next app, we need to realize like books still have a really important role to play. I love the look. Again, these bright colors. It's They're so beautiful. Clever. You know, I met David Walliams the other day, who used to do Little Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And he started becoming a very famous children's author a little while ago. And he came and did a tour of South Africa. And he went to all the schools. And every kid at these schools is reading his books.
Yeah.
And it is absolutely fantastic. He's like the most successful children's author in the world right now. Yeah. I mean, he must have looked at J.K. Rowling and thought, what am I doing with this TV nonsense?
Yeah.
I need to write one of those. And he has. He's written brilliant, brilliant books.
And now we've just spoken to the next best.
And we've just spoken to the up-and-coming next biggest one.
With books translated to French.
And they're in French.
I'm hoping.
Hopefully, one day.
Translated. We'll get there. Okay.
Yeah.
One day. We are trying to get my guy to translate them. And then one day the dream is to have them in every language, because that's what we want. We want kids to be inspired, and we want them to have magic in their eyes. Yes. And, you know, we say the stories are a great way to give hope and change humanity at the moment and inspire through stories. And so, you know, that's the goal. That's the goal, to make kids and parents happy and to start conversations. And
I absolutely love it. Well done. Nice to talk to you this morning.
Thank you very much. It was lovely talking to you guys.
Cheers, Kelly. Very good.
Sure.
Love it.
You know, secretly, I actually read a lot of kids' books as well, especially when I'm just
secretly embarrassed.
No, because then people are like, so what are you reading right now?
And, you know, like,
and then people
books.
Are naming big things and I'm like, I'm actually reading kids' books. And that's because my children are avid readers, particularly my youngest, my daughter. So she takes part in reading balls because she will fly through books. And you literally be like, there's no way I gave you a book this thick and you finished it now.
And she
so
has.
You will take the book and you will quiz her, because I'll be like, did you read or did you just fly through to prove that you can read fast? And when you quiz her on these things, man, she has read the dang thing.
So middle child's going to be a footballer.
Yeah.
Your youngest is a genius.
My youngest one will probably end up. No, Bonsu's the firstborn.
Last so nothing.
Born might end up in Korea. No, Bonsu's the one who'll be the what scientist there.
Oh, okay. So they're all
with
brilliant.
With all the accolades. Last born is the one who, she's brilliant.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's going to find her Korean man, who she's going to groom into a K-pop star.
But they'll have beautiful
and
children.
And then I'll never see it. They'll have beautiful. Oh,
yes,
my gosh.
That could be such a hot
combo. Afro-Asian mix.
You know, where you get those like huge differences.
Ish.
It's like I met someone once who is half Norwegian, half Japanese.
Oof.
I was like,
ooh, the skin and the leanness and the
She
bones.
Was, I mean, she was just, she was almost alien. She was so beautiful.
Oh, my gosh.
You know?
Oh.
It's insane.
You know, I'm telling you, man. If I was, in fact, you know, if I was like a hoe, I would.
If I was a hoe.
A hoe.
Okay.
Like, I think I would be sampling these
different
mixes.
And and creating children?
Especially, no.
Because I've always had this, I've had this idea, and when I say it, people look at me like I'm a monster.
You wanted to make six babies?
No, I wanted to have like five different kids with five very, very different women, like from all different parts of the world or whatever, and then make them compete and only keep the one that wins. And the other four, oh, so the judgment, other four go the to the orphanage.
Yeah, the what judgment comes there. It's you lose me there.
Oh.
Let them go back to their mothers. Don't send them to the orphanage. Let the winning one come to you.
The winning one comes to me. The other four straight to the orphanage. Oh.
But you must understand, Renagareth, you know, you talk about these beautiful mixes. Like,
oh, you know, isn't it amazing how humans, we can be.
I've seen beautiful people.
I mean, there's just something about like those contrasts that interests me. The Senegalese are very dark, right? Mm. And then you get those very, very like milky kind of either Scandinavians or Asians. And you kind of want to see what happens.
See what happens.
You know what I mean? It's like experimenting. You take the extremes. You put them together. I mean, that's why people say Brazilians are so beautiful, because they're also a mix of like completely different gene pools.
But that's also why South Africans are so beautiful.
I think we are.
Like when I'm in Cape Town, man, my eyes are always happy. Like there's so much to see. And we're like, ooh, I wonder what you
in summer, because in winter, no one does anything in Cape Town. You're talking about.
But, you know, I find like this obsession with what are you is very, is it very South African? That people are like, what are you?
Or but I don't find it's a bad thing.
No, yeah.
I like it because people, they're genuinely interested in you.
Like, what are you?
Like, how did you end up like in the family you're in? What kind of lineage do you have?
Yeah,
it's like they want to just dig a little bit deeper because they're genuinely like fascinated Malay, with you.
Meets colored, meets white, meets, did you go to China? You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Oh, it's always...
Genghis Cliff says Bitcoin Boot. Because you know Genghis Khan. I think it's one in every four people on earth is descended from him, because he had so many women.
Yes.
But mostly against their will. Genghis Khan. Yeah. So one in every four or five people on earth.
Why did you have to add that,
man? No, because he was a fucking warlord. Okay. Hey James, where's my bag? I've got the most brilliant game. It's called Dictator Trumps.
Yeah.
Well, it's got all these terrible people. Yeah, I'm just going to grab it quickly.
Now
I'll show it to
this trauma to undo from all our DNA.
From Genghis Khan. Yeah, and I'm telling you, all the way to Genghis Khan.
Yes.
Warlord. He used to go into towns and make a pyramid out of all the skulls.
Ooh.
So he was a vicious son of a bitch.
That thing is for real.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's fascinating.
He was a terrible son of a bitch.
Dark as F.
Mm. But apparently, almost all of us are descended from him, whether we like it or not.
That's
but you know, also when you meet someone who's black but they're light skinned, sometimes you wonder, like, is it a light skinned black person, or is it a light skinned black person who has a white ancestor?
Somewhere? Yes, like people with long hair this long, and you're like, you're lying, you bought that hair. She's like, it's in my scalp, I drew it, like, and you're like, but why? And are you mixed? And they're like, no, we're all black at home. You're like, yeah, but your hair cannot be.
Just
like
pass
that.
It to me here.
So I get what you're saying, like.
Find this thing.
Yeah, it is a curious thing. I mean, my sister has hazel eyes.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Apparently that's very rare.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're like, but she was bullied when she was in school because they used to call her a cat.
Okay, so these are like Dictator Trumps. So what you have is there's Hitler, for example.
So this is like top Trumps that you play with the Transformers and
stuff.
So
you've got Reign of Hitler, 11 years. Invasions, 29. So that would be a good one to go on. Death Toll, 17 million. Wealth, 800 million at the time, and children, zero. So you don't want to go with children. Okay, so let's just split these in the middle, and then you take one, and we just play for a little bit. I think this will be hilarious. What else you got to do? You going to run? Okay. Let's just do this quickly and see how we do. We'll just play with a few. All right.
So cool. Which one trumps which one?
So just grab yours. Okay, so first card. I've got... I'm going to go Reign, 62 years.
Mm.
That's pretty strong.
That's hectic.
Do I win?
62 years.
Yeah, I've got 62 years.
I'm on 27.
Years. What do you got?
I've got 27 years, Mao Zedong.
Mao Zedong, I've got Hirohito. So thank you. I'll take it. All right. now, we've got 2 billion in wealth.
I win.
Oh.
500 billion.
Shit, who you got?
Genghis Khan.
Ah, shit. Okay. I knew you'd get Genghis Khan. Just look at how many kids.
1,000 plus.
Well, because we don't know.
Yes, Dad.
That's only the first generation, right?
But he was also very healthy, clearly.
Okay, you can go next.
Let's go. I'm going to lose on everything here. Death toll, 2 million. You can talk.
Oh, you win.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got Robespierre, only 40,000. Who have you got?
I've got Pol Pot.
Oh, Pol Pot. Good one.
Them Asian folk are hectic.
Yeah, everybody thinks all the bad people came from Europe.
On the thing. I'm just saying.
All right.
yeah, but this is Asian. It was Asian on Asian crime.
Well, do we forgive Shaka? This is a very deep conversation. Have you been watching Shaka Ilembe?
Do we forgive Shaka?
Do we forgive him? Do we forgive Shaka? This is a very important question to me.
I don't want my people to cancel me. I will not have this conversation with you. I refuse.
All right, go. What's yours?
Let's go on death toll.
Ooh, I got 50,000.
I got 6.5 million.
Shit, you
Napoleon
win.
Bonaparte.
Okay, you win Muammar Gaddafi. Look at that picture of him.
Mother, why is... Well, I mean... Okay, he was a dictator.
He was a dictator.
No, but you see, sometimes when... So, I think politically, some of these things... Because, you know, sometimes there's this whole us against America thing. So, you start to side with... Even if it's a dictator, because it's in versus America thing, then you're on the dictator side. And then on his own, you're like, actually, this is wrong.
So, I think actually Genghis Khan is probably the strongest card in that deck.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got Caligula, Nicolae Ceausescu.
Ivan the IV.
Here's Said Barre from Somalia.
Is Idi Amin there?
Yeah, Idi Amin's here.
How many did Idi Amin kill?
Let's find him. Idi Amin Dada. 300,000.
Big Dada. Hey, Big Dada was hectic.
300,000. Invasion zero. Reign 8 years. He made $1 billion in his lifetime. And he had 43 children.
Yeah.
43.
You know, sometimes I wonder, like, when you're on that level of evil and these war parts and whatever, when do you have time to pop? Like, when do you get it hard? Because I feel like you are kind of getting your satisfaction from all of this ha-ha you're doing. So when are you pumping? It's the thing I'm trying to understand. Because I feel like there's so much going on with you.
It's a funny thing. It's like someone just said, now, isn't Jacob Zuma in there? No, he's not a dictator.
He's not a dictator,
He was democratically elected.
Yes. Anyway. And considered just a dick by some.
But I mean, he had time for pumping.
Plenty. But I mean, it's his virility. I don't blame him. I mean, I used to listen to that man when he spoke Zulu, and I was like, I understand. Sometimes I would get confused and go,
no, charming.
Uncle,
yeah.
What just happened? You know what I mean? Like, he has a charm I cannot explain. Hey, uncle, he would sometimes confuse me a little bit, you know. But
he had an incredible, still does, an incredible ability to charm anybody.
You I've met him, or you love him.
I've met him three or four times, and he's charming
as heck.
Like, honestly, you could hate him, and I could put all these people in the comments section who say, "Oh, Jacob Zuma," and all those people in the ANC who blame him for everything, even though they were there at the same time.
Yeah,
I want to put those people in a room with him. They don't have the charm he has. It's like Bill Clinton. You know, when I met Bill Clinton, he grabs your hand like this. He goes, how are you? Like, grabs your arm up here, looks you in the eyes. Like, you're the only person he wants to talk to at that moment. Same with Jacob Zuma.
Yeah.
They make such an effort with you. They're like, they are good at this. So when he's talking to you, even though there's all of this going on around him, he's like, and tell me about your family. Right? He's very good at that shit. Watch out for these politicians.
There was a time I wished for once he would just go Dulu Ntombazana, just so I can hear what it sounds like when it comes from his mouth. Anyway, what are we talking about? We are digressing here when the people are watching.
No, but I mean, you were asking about these
Raven
dictators.
Wants this game. Sorry, Raven wants this game.
Oh, the game is called Dictator Trumps.
Where do you get like it online?
Someone gave it to me as a Christmas present last year. There it is. I'm not going to do card tricks now. You know, when someone holds something like this, always assume they... We had a magician in here the other day, a mentalist.
Oh.
Yeah. He pulled some tricks on Simpiwe.
Oh.
She was not pleased.
Yeah, even me, it makes feels me like uncomfortable. Magic. Do you know I once fell in public because of these damn mentalist people?
What happened?
You know how they can, like, they'll ask you what's your biggest fear and then they make it appear in front of you. So this guy asks, and I'm not buying into this nonsense, and we're sitting at a restaurant in Melville, and a spider pops up on my hand. I have serious arachnophobia.
Yet.
I literally fell off my chair, fell so hard.
That's not
because
cool.
Because it's a proper, proper fear.
But they shouldn't do that.
Yeah, bruh. It messed me up so badly.
I had a spider as big as my hand in my kitchen the other day.
Thanks.
I took a picture of it and posted it on Instagram. Spubs. And people like freaked out. I'm not so scared of those things, but the dog was going to eat it. And I was like, that's not a good idea.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see,
it's a rain spider.
This is the one thing that I like Australia when I visit.
Oh, but they have.
But I refuse to go.
They
the
have
huntsmen,
terrible insects.
The huntsman. Guys, if you want to kill me, if there's an enemy out there who's going, how do I kill it? Just put me in a room.
Find a
spider.
Picture of that huntsman spider quickly for us, guys. See if you can find a picture.
My house in the States, right, has these spiders called the yellowback spider.
Oof.
Bruh.
Sounds horrible.
The cobweb looks like a net. I was like, number one, how
like
big
you
are you? Number two, what are you trying to catch?
You could get
yeah,
caught.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you trying to try? You need an
human
insect.
Human baby.
An insect doesn't need, it's an insect. Why do you need to occupy a territory for an insect?
What are they called? Yellowbacks.
Yellowbacks.
Yes. Yes.
I'm actually making myself sick. Please just change the topic.
I just want to see what this huntsman looks like.
Okay,
is that
but
the worst
if you're
going
to put it up, yeah, it's
yeah, no,
the
you don't have to
one.
Look. I just want to see.
Oh.
Guys, you got it?
Oh. I'm
all
making
right,
myself
cool.
sick.
Do me look away.
No, it's good. Yeah. Yo.
Oh, sweet. Okay, take this. It down. That's cool. All right, take it away. Take it away. We don't need that. Listen, I've had lots of fun with you this
even
morning.
Even me. I'm sorry. I'm really not my usual smart self.
What are you talking about?
And it's funny with accents. You know, I get into kak for accents. I did a corporate one. I did a corporate. And we're playing around, whatever, whatever. The client. It's not aware I'm on comms, even me. So I'm hearing. And she's going, that accent is going to offend people. I'm like, the F, man. Do you not see my color right now? Because she was like, why is she putting on that accent? How am I?
So when you do that, she got upset with that. She thought it was going to upset
other
people.
And I'm like,
but
I'm black and I'm speaking a black accent and you find it offensive. Njani. And it's not the first time. I'm like, but what do you want from me, guys? I speak like this. It's like I'm trying to be something else. I speak like this. Who do I think I am?
Yeah, no,
I
come
speak
on.
Like this. What
get
am I doing?
Get over
I,
yourself.
Man, people must
hear
me just.
But that's also, I think that era is over. Thank God. People must realize, like, there's this article in the New York Times, of all places, which is like the most left-wing of all papers,
yeah.
Right? New York Times saying, woke is dead.
It must
and
die.
And we don't even need to be upset about it. Let's
yes.
move on. Let's get back to a point where we can laugh and have fun.
Please.
And not take each other so seriously.
Somebody.
And if their biggest thing is to be offended, let them go and do it somewhere else.
And stop being thieves. If I didn't offer you offense, you stole it.
There we go.
Now, take offense. Who offered you? But I was laughing. My daughter, last thing. So my 10-year-old still speaks in a very South African accent. More South African than when she was here.
Okay.
They've been doing this.
Oh, really?
I've told you this before. They've been doing this thing where they get to America and they were like, we are as South African as they come, right? Now we're on a... When she's with her friends, she's
so the opposite
crew.
Of Thibaut Touch.
Bruh. But when she's with her crew, I realize she has the perfect quintessential Atlanta accent, right?
Really?
You can place her. Anyway, I let it go. I'm like, of course, she needs to survive. I don't know... top of my mind what this is called. I'm just like, oh, I see she's making sure she knows where she is. Grandpa calls. She's speaking to him in that accent. And grandpa says, oh, don't they make fun of your accent at school? Because he picked up that it's thicker than
here.
No, yeah, than here. And he went, no, grandpa, I code switch.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey. You know when I'm like, let the children raise themselves.
That's awesome.
I code switch. I was like, oh, it's code switching, my baby. Let me write that down. I was today. Yes,
that is so that's
when
so
I learned
smart.
That it's called code switching.
Very clever.
I that child.
I'm very impressed.
She must fetch me many, 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 many cows. I'm keeping receipts. I've got a file of the money I'm spending on this child. The man who comes and says, I want your her child's hand in marriage, I will say, my son, you're welcome.
Many.
Here is a file. Give me what you feel is fair. This, just you and your conscience, speak to what's in the file.
We're talking six figures at least.
Listen, we can do a payment plan. I am telling you. I
love you, Tumi.
I love you.
Thanks,
Gareth,
for coming, babe.
Thanks for having me. Have me
so
more,
nice.
Man. I like
so
talking
nice to see you. This has been so much fun. It doesn't even feel like 2 hours. It feels like 15 minutes.
Yeah,
that's how you know. All right. Thanks, everybody. We will see you not tomorrow, Friday. But there is a Burning Platform tomorrow with me and Pumi Mashiho on the podcast party. Friday, we're back here. Gareth Cliff Show right here on The Real Network. And there's plenty of other good stuff, including tomorrow on The Bounce. And Waris's show with PH, of course, the Shady podcast, plus some other new shows. If you haven't watched Let's Talk Man yet, you need to get onto that one too. The doctors talking about all the stuff that you wish doctors would talk about. It's all happening.